Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I'm your host, Matt Ritter, and with me, as always, is Jeff Cerulli.
Yo!
Can you believe we are still doing West Coast Knicks Fan?
I can, but it's a little crazy. We're in the middle of the second round. No games tonight, though. Great job scheduling, NBA. It's Thursday night. There's not one game tonight.
It's very frustrating.
Doesn't make any sense.
But we're not going to complain about a three-day layoff for the oldest team in the league.
No, but and the weirdest thing is the teams that played yesterday play tomorrow, and the Knicks play Saturday.
Even better for us.
Yeah, well, why were they in such a rush to start this series? I know why, because of Sunday, but...
The weekends. Yeah, the weekends are where all the ratings are.
Anyway, Let's finish up with the Celtics series.
When we left off, I said we're not going to do the podcast again until the series is over, and I thought we were just going to be a day away from doing the podcast.
Yeah, well, you were saying they'd sweep, and I'm like, they're not going to sweep them. It's not going to happen. But if J.R. Smith doesn't elbow Jason Terry, they might sweep him.
Absolutely.
Because it kind of got out of their rhythm. He missed the game, fired the Celtics up. And they almost won game four anyway. So if he doesn't elbow him, they probably sweep.
Were you ever really – on the scale of nervousness, were you ever really concerned they were going to lose the series?
Well, I wasn't concerned they were going to lose it. But game five was a little surprising how much of an egg they laid at home. You know?
Yes.
I thought they'd win that game for sure. Not only did I think they'd win, I thought they'd blow them out. They come out 11-0, and then that was it. They weren't really in the game for the rest of it. They were down big. The Celtics were hitting shots. Jason Terry couldn't do anything all series. Now in game four, he was hot. At the end, game five, he's hitting shots. Jeff Green had 2 3-pointers at the end of the game. It's like, where is this coming from? And then game six, in typical Knicks fashion, where they're up 26, and then they let a 20-0 run happen. Yeah, I mean, you said how worried was I. Not at first. And then when they were up 26, that moment in game six, when it started cutting down the lead, then I start to get worried because they cut it to 4.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously that was nerve-wracking. That steal by Shumpert really settled everything down.
Yeah, but I think if they lost game 6, they were going to lose game 7, losing it in that fashion.
Yeah, that would have sucked all the life out of them.
I mean, you're up 26 points with, like, what, 7 minutes left, 6 minutes left? Yo, dude, I don't think they would have won.
Did Woodson take out everybody a little too early?
No, I think they were just bullshitting. They would just make easy passes. They thought they had the series won.
Well, you figure the Celtics aren't even capable of scoring 26 points.
No. I mean, it's hard. It's hard when you got that lead to keep up the intensity. But fuck, man. Haven't won a playoff series in forever. And like, obviously, this isn't on these players. They weren't here in the mid-2000s, but... Yeah, it got really scary because I'm like, game 7 is going to be tough. Going to be really tough. And then that's why I was nervous. That's why I texted you. I had a bad feeling about the series, the way they ended it. The Pacers ended on a high note. Knicks ended on a down note. I'm like, I don't like them in the series. I started getting really nervous about this series.
Yeah, you did. I was going to call you out on that, so I'm glad you admitted that. So let's put the Celtics in the past. We killed our demons there. We killed them. We exercised them. Melo exercised quite a few demons. For his legacy and
came up big that game. Game six came up very big when we needed buckets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was very important for him going into the Indiana series. I mean, just to hit a couple big buckets.
Well, what do you make of game one then?
You know, it's hard to say, right? Because I think, you know, when you get a big, especially the way game six happened, right? They had that huge lead and then they let it slip away and then they had that. You know, they hit a couple of huge shots to put them away. I think that took a lot out of them.
Yeah.
I think it took a lot out of them, and You know, they didn't come in ready. I hate to say they didn't come in ready, because then it's like, is that Woodson's fault? I think they sort of forgot how good Indiana is in vanquishing the Celtics.
Yeah.
Like, I think they forgot you actually have to put in way more effort to beat the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, they're tough. They're a tough defensive team, man. You got to really bring up your game. You can't, like, bullshit through it.
It's because in some ways, I think the Knicks beat the Celtics without even playing a great game at all the entire series.
They really did. Besides game three, the offense wasn't great from start to finish at all, ever in the series.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, what I make of game one is they didn't come out ready, and they didn't shoot well, and, you know, those two combos are death for the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks have to, you know, the Knicks can't not play hard and not shoot well. It's impossible.
Yeah, and that's what you got game one. They couldn't hit shots.
Yeah.
And defense wasn't great. They gave up so many open three-pointers. DJ Augustine went 4 for 5. Paul George hit a bunch of three-pointers. I mean, here's the thing, too, man. You're going at the end of the half. Knicks are down 3. Pacers come down. Paul George hits a 3. Now you're down 6. Now you go to halftime 6 instead of 3. Like, little things like that. Missed free throws.
They lost all the little battles in that game.
Mm-hmm. And it was a killer. Those little things add up. They weren't hitting shots. J.R. Smith was called. Melo was called. And it's tough. It's tough to win when those guys are taking that many shots and not, you know, shooting a good percentage or halfway.
Here's the thing, right? And I think it's hilarious that everybody who's on the Knicks bandwagon immediately jumped off after the Knicks played poorly. But the thing is that that's what the Knicks look like when they play poorly. But they don't play poorly that often.
No, and as you can see, they rebounded game two, played really well. I mean, even the first half, they were up. Pacers came back. But I always felt like the Knicks were in control. Even, like, what did they get down? 3 points? Like, that was it. Like, and then, of course, a huge surge.
This was the biggest win of the Melo era, for sure.
Like in the playoffs, or like
since we've had Melo, you know, just stakes and the way they played, the way the entire team played.
Yeah, obviously, you don't want to go down 0-2 at home, having to go in Indiana.
Yeah, I just mean top to bottom. Well, you know, you take J.R. Smith out, and everybody, you know, pretty much brought it.
Well, the two pleasant surprises as playoffs are one, Shumpert. Whose jump shot, where did this come from?
Let's talk about Shumpert for a second, actually. I know who the second guy is, but let's talk about Shumpert, because you and I have talked about Shumpert a lot on this podcast all year, and now I'm starting to think, well, you just rushed to judgment.
Yeah, he wasn't back from injury. We didn't give him enough time.
You know, because that's, you know, if you think about the guy that we saw the first 2 months, it's not even the same play. It's two different guys.
He was playing his way back into it, and that's no fault of his own. I mean, he got a bad injury. He's playing, and his jump shot wasn't – the thing I worried about was he didn't have the quickness, and his jump shot wasn't there, so you thought his jump shot's never going to be there. But all of a sudden, his jump shot, when he's open, you're getting the feeling like it's going in now, you know?
Yes, and you know, he's great from the corners. His three-point percentage is way up. He doesn't really take any bad shots.
It's like 50% this playoff. Yeah. It's unbelievable that you're getting that much productivity out of him.
He's the anti-JR. He takes no bad shots.
Well, I will not say anti-JR, because he does take some step backs that aren't great.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't hate him just because you want him to have aggression. He's a guy that's under-aggressive.
Yeah, and he's playing, I mean, great defense. Like, I loved in the Celtics series. If they end up losing this game, and I was shocked they lost it, because what was it? It was game four when they had that big comeback. And then remember when he stole Paul Pierce's cookies?
Yes, that was amazing. I mean, that was amazing. Yeah.
I mean, you thought when they were down 3 points in that Celtics series in game four, they're going to win it, obviously. You're like, here we got all the momentum, and they did it, and they went to overtime. But since then, man, he's just very good in the open field. He's like a free safety. He covers a lot of ground. His shooting's there. Obviously, the dunk from game two. He's just been – I didn't expect this, you know?
I didn't either. You know, we have to be honest. We were both, you know, kind of – we were kind of giving him a hard time, you know, for the first 2 months. I also love that, you know, look, if Paul George wants to be a superstar, right, Paul George is 6'10", and Shumpert's locking you down. Like, I don't even want to hear a Paul George superstar unless something changes on that front.
I don't think he's shutting Paul George down though. Paul George is having a good series though. He had a lot of good threes the first half of
You look at his numbers from game two, they were pretty terrible.
Yeah, but he was forcing shots. That's when it started to get out of hand. He was forcing threes. I think Paul George is really, really good. I don't think Shumpert's shutting him down.
I think he's playing pretty well, man. I mean, I think he's really getting up in his grill.
Nothing against Shumpert's defense, but yeah, Paul George was great in game one.
Yeah. He just doesn't have the post game like Melo does yet, you know?
No, and I don't know if he ever will, but...
Yeah. Let's talk about the other guy that's, you know, just been a dream. I mean, he's another guy that I crapped on. You know, I stopped crapping on him about a month and a half ago, though.
I would say I never crapped on him.
You were always on the Pablo bandwagon.
I always liked him. I always thought he was fun. I always thought he was good on the inbound passes. I thought he had a good motor, and it's still now.
I think it's just because he was playing really skittish at the beginning of the year, and he was getting the ball stolen from him. Like I said, you know, it was very Jeremy Lin, reminiscent of like Lin against the Heat. But you know, he's a real floor general. I mean, he's just, you know, legitimate veteran, you know, point guard who never, ever, ever turns the ball over.
Yeah, I think it was just getting used to the NBA game. He played in Europe so long. Yeah. It's just getting used to the feel for the game. And my only complaint about him is I'd like to see him, you know, try to go for some layups sometimes, because I think he becomes a little predictable there when they know he's not going to.
Yeah, he also passes up, like, wide open shots.
But he is taking those, and his three-point shot, he's got that push shot. That he's a good three-point shooter.
He reminds me of Charles Oakley a little bit.
Yeah. Very good three-point shooter. I mean, he shoots a high percentage. He'll take, like, maybe two a game. He hits one. In the Celtics series, in the last game, he had three three-pointers in the first half. Like, he's a good shooter. I'd just like to see him, you know, drive a little more and go for the layup to keep
the
defense.
You know, when we're talking about shooting of these guys, you know, I always said this all year. You know, I may be delusional, but I don't think the Heat can beat us if multiple of those guys are hitting their open threes. I don't think they can beat us. If you have a guy like Shumpert and a guy like Prigioni and J.R. Smith all hitting their threes, I don't think we can be beat.
And Quentin Richardson.
Yeah, Q Rich sighting.
That was one of the worst mistakes when he played him in that Celtics game. And he Quentin Richardson had a missed three-pointer, a missed layup, and I think is the like missed a defensive assignment.
What do you make of Woodson's you know, waiting so long to play Prigioni these big minutes?
I don't know about the waiting, because he did play a little bit in the Celtics series, but I think he should have played more game one. And I also think part of the success we had against the Celtics was that they had no point guard. And in that run, I know we lost the game in game four, but what was great that run when we had Felton Prigioni and we were trying to trap Avery Bradley or trap Jason Terry, and we were getting some turnovers. Late in the fourth quarter, he was playing Kidd. And I would have liked to have seen him keep Prigioni and Felton, because we were still down. And we're still trying to create turnovers. So he trusts Kidd more, and Kidd hasn't really been doing anything.
Well, here's the problem, right? I mean, Kidd, you know, he's wide open, and he can't hit. And, you know, we had this problem 3 months ago. He had a whole month where he was ice cold, and he hit one three-pointer the whole month. You know, it's too big of a stakes. If he can't hit it, you got to take him out.
Yeah, he's a different player, and you're not getting too much out of him.
No, look.
Two in that last game, he had like two turnovers in that bad stretch.
But yeah, I that was actually the worst thing for me, was that Jason Kidd threw a turnover cross court. You just don't see that from him.
Yeah, he's not having a good playoff so far.
Here's the thing, minutes wise, you know, there's a lot of games off. There's a lot of rest for the backcourt. You got to just play whoever's playing well, which means Felton always. And Shumpert always, and then Prigioni and J.R. Smith. I mean, that should be all the minutes.
Felton's not a surprise for me, because I expected this out of him.
You know what? We've been saying it all year. A healthy Felton is, you know, is a baller.
Yeah, he was hurt. I mean, when they went on that swoon in the middle of the season, he was hurt. And then when he came back, he was still hurt. His arm sucked. His hand, he couldn't shoot right. And, you know, it was a big difference. So I expect this out of him. It's not a surprise. Shumpert and Prigioni are the nice surprises. Because Prigioni's just so smart with it, well.
Let's talk about the flip side of that coin. What is wrong with J.R. Smith?
You're getting bad J.R. Smith. You're getting the one that holds the ball. You're getting the one that doesn't make good passes. You're getting the one that does the, you know, instead of just driving, he started to drive game two a little bit, takes the quick shots or holds on to it. It's like a little of both. He'll take the quick shot when he probably shouldn't, and then other times he just holds on to it and he dribbles. You want to see make moves, even with Melo. Like, Melo can hold on to it a little bit longer because Melo's in control. He goes in the post. But you want to just have quick moves. And JR, when he gets in that thinking mode of, yo, I got this. I mean, game two in the first half, how many bad shots did he take?
Yeah, I mean, my I guess my bigger problem with it is that I think, you know, his shooting actually affects his decision-making in other areas. Like, when he's shooting the ball poorly, he also makes bad decisions in every respect.
Yeah.
You know, like, when he's hot, and same thing with Melo. I feel like the hotter, it's weird, right? You'd think it'd be the opposite, but the hotter Melo is, the more inclined he is to make the right decision, too. It's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like when Melo's hot, he's a better overall passer.
It's one of those, like, it's almost like blackjack. You're sitting there, you lost two hands, you're like, all right, I got to win this one. No, lost the hand. All right, well, I lost three in a row, I got to win this one. When you're a shooter, you get in that mentality. If you're a good shooter, you miss two. Well, I'm not going to miss this one. It's counterproductive because you're trying to help the team out in a negative way. You're just trying to get yours. When, you know, I always go back to the Spurs game in the beginning of the year where Melo struggled with a shot, but he made so many good passes, so many good plays that they won despite his, you know, not shooting the ball well. And you didn't get that in the Celtics series.
Melo has the ability to make all the right plays. He does.
Yeah, he's putting it on his shoulders, which I can't blame him because he gets the blame if they lose. So if you're him, of course you're going to want to take all the shots.
Yeah, you know what I love? I love that Kevin Durant is now experiencing a taste of Melo's entire career.
Durant was amazing game one, though.
No, he was. Look, the guy's incredible.
The shot he had, my God.
Look, he's better than Melo. I'm just saying, you know, this whole argument of like, oh, man, he's got to carry a whole team. Like, yeah, exactly. That's what Melo does every night.
Yeah.
Every night of the entire season almost, you know?
Yeah, but Melo wants it that way.
No, I know. I'm just saying. It's there's a player that's already doing that in the league, you know?
Yeah.
Like, LeBron doesn't do that anymore. You know, he was doing that in Cleveland. Melo's the only guy.
The thing also I was down about, too, with the series is Melo's shoulder. It's really a concern for me. It seems like he's fine, but it's going to, you know, flare up a few times again.
Yeah, that's why I think this 3 days off was a godsend for the Knicks. I mean, if we can get Melo healthy, Chandler healthy, Kidd maybe find his shot, JR find his shot. Look, I think we're going to win this series. I've always thought that. Where do you stand right now?
I think it's going to go seven now. And then I think we pull it off in seven. You got to get one in Indiana. You don't need both, but you got to get one, right?
I think it ends in six.
Six. They're going to – how?
I think they're going to win game three and game – I think they're going to win two out of three in Indiana. I don't know which four or five, but they'll close it out back in New York. Six.
Well, no. I mean, it's good. There's only two in Indiana.
Oh, is it 2-2-1-1-1?
Yeah, it's just normal. Only the finals are 2-3-2.
Oh, then it is going to go seven. See, I forgot. I thought it was 2-3-2.
You figure, okay, I'll give them game three, but then they're going to lose game four. So now it's 2-2. You want to get that pivotal game five at home.
Right.
Six, Indiana's going to win, and then hopefully next one game seven at home.
Yeah. Look, here's the reason that I've always picked the Knicks, and you watch it play out in game one and two. If Indiana is playing better than the Knicks, they can, you know, they can beat us, definitely. But they can't run away from us. They can't end a game in the third quarter the way we can.
No, I knew we'd be on a run game one. It's just we're running out of time, though. And Indiana hit shots. That's the thing.
But you know what I mean? Like, Indiana can never run away with a game.
You're never going to get DJ Augustine 4-5 again.
Right. You know, but, like, the Knicks can run away with any game. Like, you know, if the Knicks get hot, the game's over.
That's the thing. Here, look. Indiana's a more consistent team at
absolutely
what they do.
Absolutely. Much more. If there's any Indiana fans listening, we'll give you credit. You're much more consistent.
Indiana's more consistent in what they did want to do. Hibbert was great game one. He was fantastic game one. Stopping, he had a lot of, I don't know how many blocks he had. He probably had about three or four blocks, but a lot of like shot kind of altering moves. He probably only had about 8 points, but it wasn't the points. It was the defense and the rebounding.
Very sound, very sound.
Very good game. So they're good at that. Paul George is pretty consistent. Lance Stephenson, I'll leave him open. He'll hit 1-3 a game. Like he's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
He's like there Shumpert in a way, but not as good on defense.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give him the one shot.
I'll say this. I want to go back to Melo for a second because I want to talk about David West. I think David West is the biggest disappointment for Indiana. I think Melo does his best. You know, he puts in a lot of effort trying to guard David West. David West should have been wiping the floor with him.
Yeah, Melo, he doesn't get enough credit for his post defense.
Never does.
No, he never will, because once the stick these things stick with you your whole career. You don't play defense. You can't get out of the first round. You can't do this. He does that well. Whatever it is, it just sticks with you. Because most fans are just casual fans, and they just watch SportsCenter and they read what people write, and they don't watch the games like, you know, we do, or like, you know, really inform people.
Yeah, because David West beats up regular power forwards, like legitimate ones.
Yeah, he's a bully.
He is a bully. I mean, he's bullying Melo. Melo's getting hit a lot.
Yeah, and then when they had Hansborough come in for a few minutes game one to try to pick up some fouls on Melo.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough going on that front. So yeah, I mean, look, I think the Knicks, you know, take it in seven. I agree with that assessment. You want to talk a little bit before we go? Let's talk a little bit about elsewhere around the league.
Well, you're missing. Well, one thing for on ESPN, I think 11. I think they did 12 predictions, and I think nine had the Knicks. Most people are picking the Knicks here,
Yeah.
but I've seen a lot of Indiana stuff.
Actually, you know, before we switch to the other teams around the league, let's just quickly touch on Amari game three. Good idea, bad idea. I'm all for Amari. I think you are too.
What do you think?
What's that?
I think it's good.
Well, you know, you and I are on the same page on this. Amari can only help.
Look, man, I get my Melo and Amari can't play together. Yes, it's not about that. He's going to play 10 minutes a game. He's going to come in. He's going to come in on the Pacers. The Pacers bench sucks. Who's on
Horrible.
the Pacers bench? Sam Young, Hansborough, DJ Augustine, who had the game of his life, Pendergraph. Like, these guys, it's
Yeah,
not a.
Amari should be able to do those quick post-up moves that he
Yes,
learns.
Amari's going to come in the second unit. He's going to play 10 minutes. He's going to score 8 points. He's gonna have two rebounds, and it's gonna be needed when J'Arr Smith isn't hot, and it's someone we can work down low. Kenyon Martin, dude, it is a waste of a possession when Kenyon Martin's gonna take that 10-footer. You know it's gonna be a long rebound for the other team, and they're gonna get a transition layup. Kenyon Martin's great at what he's doing for us, but he's not a scorer down low. Now you have a guy who can score down low. It's only gonna help.
I agree. I'm not worried at all. I think it can only help us. You know, and again, like you said, with the casual fan, we've been watching. We know what Amari's been doing. It's all his reputation. This is all reputation that people are criticizing.
Yeah, he was. I mean, look, it's we talked about it too. It's hard to ignore the numbers when they're playing well. He comes back, they're not. He goes out, they're playing well. I get it. But when he was in there, his offense was great. It was not only was it great, but it was efficient. People that want to complain about Melo's shooting volume, Mari had a lot of games where he's 12 of 13, 10 of 13. It was very good percentage. He was like, it wasn't hurting him. It's just I think when Amari and Melo come in together, it's two maybe defensive liabilities, but this isn't going to be that. It's just he's playing very little minutes. It's going to be fine. It's going to help.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think Knicks fans got to relax and embrace the fact that we have a good, you know, consistent scorer off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, most teams think about that. Most teams don't have that luxury. If you have Amari, he's like starting for you, or he's like, you know, it's fine, man. It's not going to hurt them.
Yeah, let's go elsewhere around the league before we get off the podcast. Heat, you think they're going to close out in five or what?
I could see it. Yeah, it's really crazy they lost game one. I mean, what Nate Robinson? Do you still root for him or what?
You know what? I didn't, and now I do. You watch that Bulls team, they have so much heart.
Yeah, I kind of always found him annoying even when he's on the Knicks, but now I'm kind of rooting for him just because it's such an underdog story.
Yeah, I mean, he got his face crushed by LeBron. Crushed. I mean, LeBron's ass smooshed his head into the ground and caused 10 stitches.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch them, and I mean, I hate Noah, and but they have so many injuries, and I'm not gonna kill Derrick Rose, man. I just can't.
Especially after what we saw with Jumper, you know you can't kill him.
I mean, everyone's killing him, but I'm just not going to. I mean, I don't
The
know.
guy's 24 years old. He could be the best player in the league for 10 years. He's going to risk that for a team that's not going to win anyway?
Yeah, I just can't kill him, man. It's like, what's the sense in coming back, especially now? You see how long it took for Shumpert? It took Shumpert
Yeah.
what?
I mean, Dwayne Wade would absolutely abuse him if he came back right now.
5 months, 4 months to get back to like playing where he is now, like.
Yeah.
God, man, he's like, well, when did Shump come back? January?
Yeah, and he only became good in March, maybe April. I don't know.
Say April. So it's going to take him a while. You're going to throw him up against the Heat, the best team, quote unquote, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron would go guard him, too. That's the
it's
worst
not
part.
Wise. I mean, just play it for next year. I mean, they got a nice team. They got a lot of good players. They'll probably sign someone in the offseason. Like, that was him. I mean, look, it sucks when everyone around you's hurt, but I don't know. I mean, what's the sense? He comes back, plays a quarter, and if he gets hurt again or something.
Yeah, I don't like, yeah, I know. I hate the idea of, like, other people are hurt, so now you have to change your entire rehab.
Yeah, there was a thing going online today, and, like, someone posted, it was a picture on top of Derrick Rose and Shumpert, both of them on the ground in pain, and said they got hurt at the same day. And then this is them today, and I had Derrick Rose in a suit and Shumpert dunking. It's funny. But I was like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't risk it.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's a great, I got to see that picture.
Yeah, it's not going on Facebook. It's just like, fuck, man, different people. It's yeah. different. Derrick Rose is way more valuable than Shumpert.
Yeah.
So it's like, give me a break.
And then out west, man, is Golden State just too quick for San Antonio at this point?
Starting to think so. Nuggets have, I mean, Warriors have trouble finishing out games. They almost lost that Nuggets game. It came awfully close. It was like the end of the Knicks-Celtics. Yeah. Turnovers. It looked like, and it was worse than the Knicks because the Nuggets cut it tight to two, and Wilson Chandler missed an inbound. They stole down the inbound, and he missed a layup that would have tied it. But it looked like a rec team that couldn't like.
Yeah, they get flustered. I mean, they almost last night again. Almost really, you know.
Last night wasn't that close because the Spurs didn't hit shots.
Yeah, the Spurs had a couple wide open threes that could have really changed the momentum.
They didn't. They game one. They hit all their shots. Danny Green hit a three. Kawhi Leonard hit three. Ginobili had the big three. But I think they might be a little too quick. It's really crazy. You would think that they're not going to lose that, but Klay Thompson was super hot. Curry's the most fun to watch right now.
Yeah, he's incredible. I see a Memphis Knicks finals. Do you have any problem with that?
That'd be great. Yeah. So you think Memphis is going to beat OKC? I do.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I really do. I think it's too much to ask for Durant. The entire team sucks.
Here's the thing. Ibaka's a good player for what he is, and Kevin Martin is a good shooter. That's it.
They don't have a good flow at all. Their entire team has no flow.
They're fucked up right now. I think Memphis is Conley is playing great. You got
the
two.
You were right about Conley. I mean, Memphis knows what they want to do on every possession. It's same thing, pick and roll, you know?
What did I say about Conley?
Yeah.
What did I say about Conley? I was right. I was just saying he's good.
Yeah, you said he was, like, you know, really elite.
Yeah, I did say that. I think when we were going down the point guards with Felton, I put him ahead.
Yeah, he is ahead of Felton. He's definitely ahead of Felton.
He's a smarter player. Better floor general than Felton. Felton's more like street ball to me.
Yeah, also Conley, you know, he eats right. He doesn't go to the buffet late at night in Indiana.
You think Felton's in kind of not amazing shape, huh?
I think Felton right now in the Midwest is like eating like, you know, fucking deep fried donuts and whatnot, you know?
He looked a little gassed at the end of one of those stretches. I could see him.
I mean, he eats so much.
I like Conley's game. I think he's really smart.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's good. All right, man. Well, look, when should we do the next podcast? After the Knicks finish Indiana off?
Let's see how it goes with these next two games.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening. Let's keep this dream alive. It's been an amazing season for this podcast. Let's keep it going.
Because of us.
All right. Later.